Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Talking sports with you as you start your day.
This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery,
with Mark Howard, Lane Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
Well, he got a third of that right. Blaine Bishop's in studio, but we got Jay Martz, Mason Martin, of course, from Big Six, Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. Welcome into the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. A little fun with instant games today. Alan Bell, 24/7 Sports, their NFL man, the OG on Twitter, getting it done, the mad tweeter. Even when I wake up at 3 in the morning, it seems like Alan's breaking some kind of news or relaying some information. Man. Yeah.
There's no way he could put this much content out.
He could be scheduling those tweets to be released at 3 a.m. And I'm like, who's he releasing it for? Europe? What's going on? But before we get to Alan, our poll question at WUZ1045. And you can also call in with your NFL questions, Titans, AFC South, you name it. You can do that at 615-737-1045. Our poll question: what team would you rather be a part of? We're not really fond of any of them. Jets, Lakers, Raiders, Knicks. But it's a fairly close one so far. Lakers 36%, Raiders 31%, Jets 18%, Knicks 15%. I would never want to play for the Jets for any reason ever. It's the Jets. Alan Bell joins us here in the Wake Up Zone. Hey, Alan.
What's going on, guys?
You doing all right? How are you, man?
I'm good. Indeed. You guys good? I appreciate that nice intro, man. Blaine, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
all you guys.
Yeah, well, you're the one that's getting it done, man. You're making it happen.
It's nice to be here, man. You got a nice, big, open studio. Yeah. It's real nice.
Well, we like to clean up when we have guests come in studio, so try to get the job done.
That's what happens when we work with J Mart.
That's right. J Mart elevates everyone's game. That's for sure.
We see what he's doing. You know, we feel like rest is not an option.
It's not. I mean, you got to have a captain on the team, right?
So he's the only one that sleeps less than you do, Alan. Is J Mart?
Exactly. I admire that, man.
Okay, so Alan, Lakers, Raiders, Jets, or Knicks?
Which team would I rather be on?
Yes.
Probably the Lakers, because it's a faster turnaround. I'd put the Raiders out there too. Classic organization. Who knows what's about to happen there? But I'm with you. No way I'm playing for the Jets. That's a disaster.
You mentioned that with the Raiders. And on face value with the Richie Incognito signing, it's completely low risk for them. 1 year, minimum league salary. Maybe you can get a good year out of them and maybe even be a reserve, what have you. But why even go down that road?
Well, they need it. They need offensive line help, right? So you said it right there. It's low risk. There's not a lot that's going to go into it. And, you know, kind of the strategy, they've done so many wild things that it's like pick one of them. Like, you know, are you going to criticize them for this one? Well, we've got 10 other ones, right? So they're going down a road where this is either with Gruden and Mayock, this is either really going to work or it's going to be a disaster. There's not going to be any middle whatsoever, right? But you knew that. Like when you hire Gruden, you know that. Like if Tennessee would have hired Gruden at what they talked about for 15 years, like there's no middle ground.
Which Tennessee, the Titans or the Vols?
Good question, right? So there's no middle ground with it. So you might as well just go all in. And they need the offensive line help, and you look around the NFL, we always talk about quarterbacks are the hardest thing to find. Offensive line's the hardest thing to find too.
Well, staying of course in the AFC, let's go over to the New York Jets, who are mentioned in this poll question. This whole Adam Gase, GM, now Le'Veon Bell, this thing is a bit of a grease fire up in New York, too.
Yeah, it is. Now, I'll say this. I thought Gase handled it pretty well when everything came out. As long as Le'Veon's cool, they're going to be all right in terms of just that situation. Now, with Adam Gase on a larger whole, I don't know what Adam Gase has done that's proved himself to anything other than having Peyton Manning's, letter of recommendation. Like, that's all he has.
Well, but wait, how many coaches got jobs just by being near Sean McVay off this past offseason?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of them... McVay's the only one that's going to a Super Bowl. That's you right. know what I mean? Yeah. But yeah, like, with Adam Gase, like, you just... what has he done? Like, what in the world has he done, you know, to prove really to anything? And then you add that to an organization that's already been a disaster. I thought they spent nicely, though. They had a good draft. So, you know, they've got a chance to do it. The hard part is that you could be as good as you want. As long as Brady and Belichick are there, well, good luck, man.
But you said that they spent nicely, in your opinion, and they drafted well, yet the GM who did that's gone.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, and that's the crazy thing is, like, you know, Maccagnan for the last 4 years, there could have been multiple things that he could have been fired for. And for the Le'Veon thing to come up, I actually thought he did pretty nice on that deal, all things considered, right? Like, it wasn't the worst deal in the world. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a disaster. But, and you look in 2 years, look if Adam Gase doesn't work out. Well, guess what? The new GM that they hire, he's going to be in the exact position now that Adam Gase is in now, right? He's gonna say, this isn't my hire. Like, I didn't hire Adam Gase. So then it's just gonna flip, and the power struggle is gonna go to the GM, and they're gonna look for a new head coach, and it's just gonna be a never-ending circle.
Alan Bell from 24/7 Sports NFL is here in studio in the Wake Up Zone.
Yes, Alan, man, you wrote a great article. A lot of people should go check it out. 100 things to know in 100 days to go, and who made the cut to start the 100th season. Wow, man, tell us some of the things that are on the list that would, you know, make them want to go click on there and read this article.
Yeah, so, you know, if you look, there's 100 days, or, well, yesterday, there's 100 days, you know, till the season starts. And there's all kinds of, like, cool stats, you know, that are in it and everything that's involved. You look at like, the milestones that we're about to see this year, right? So if you look at Peyton Manning in terms of his touchdowns, well, Tom Brady and Drew Brees are both right there, both probably going to pass him. You know, in terms, I think Peyton Manning has like 537, Drew Brees has like 520, right? So, and I think Tom Brady's like 517, somewhere around there. So that's going to go. You look at Larry Fitzgerald, he's going to enter, I think, second most receptions of all time, I can't remember the exact stat, but it's behind Tony Gonzalez, because Jerry Rice, nobody's going to touch.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, nobody's going to touch Jerry Rice. But, like, you look at, like, Frank Gore, like, he's going to enter, I think, third all-time in terms of rushing yards. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, just incredible players that are at the tail end of their career, you know, that are reaching these just monstrous milestones, you know. So, and Frank Gore, I'm a huge fan of him, you know, to begin with anyway. So there's
such
a ton of
underrated player, though. I had to look up his stats, I think, 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe what the numbers were telling me. And I'm like, he's an Hall of Fame player. I just don't know if we've ever viewed him in that manner, because when you look at his numbers, there's no question.
No question. I mean, he's incredible. And you're right. And the reason being is because we haven't heard him say seven words. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so quiet, right? Like, but that's exactly who you want. Like, he goes about his business. You don't hear anything out of him. Never complains about a contract. I mean, nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. He's kind of like Marvin Harrison, except he's just done it twice as long, to where you just really didn't hear anything. And you look up, you're like, wow, man, this guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, I didn't even think about it, you know? So there's a lot of good stats, and there's a lot of good stuff. So, yeah, it's a fun piece for sure.
Well, let's talk about it. We have to. The comparison, I don't know what your thoughts were. Maybe we want to do this when we come back. Marcus versus Tannehill. Just statistically, how they look. I don't know how they operated the same. We haven't seen a lot of Tannehill, but a lot of people are saying they kind of play the same way.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that from an article from Travis Haney and The Athletic. Alan Bell in studio with us here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. You can ask Alan a question at 615-737-1045. 916, midday 180 coming your way at 10 o'clock. 3HL, you're on today at 2. I'm Jonathan Schaefer, along with Jason Martin, Jay Martz, Blaine Bishop. We've got Alan Bell in studio from 24/7 Sports talking NFL. Ask him your NFL question at 615-737-1045. Also be a part of the conversation on Twitter at WZ1045. We'll get back to Mariota, Tannehill, the Titans here in a bit, but Blaine is really curious about Alan's pizza habit.
Yeah, your pizza habit, because you posted about a frozen pizza on your Twitter handle. You know, I'm always asking all crazy questions anyway, it doesn't really matter, but, you know, this is just, you know, guy talk, man. What's up with the frozen pizza deal?
All right, so first off, I love to eat. You know, I figure every dude out there is the same way.
I think we all do, except for Jason Martin.
So if you go to the you know, grocery store, right, and you get a frozen pizza, you know, most people grab
number one. Frank Gore's still in the league? He's old. Number two,
he's still putting up 100 yards.
Looking at how productive he was and looking up his numbers and shocked how good his numbers were.
I did that 2 years ago, and I was completely flabbergasted. I felt like somebody punched me.
Maybe the quietest, in terms of production, elite running back in NFL history.
Because his style is kind of boring, I think. I don't know. But I would have never have guessed his numbers are what they are and that he was fourth all time. Yeah. I don't care who you are. That's really hard to do. And I think a lot of people take his career for granted. But I don't, you're in the National Football League and you're fourth all time. I don't care what position you play. You're a Hall of Famer. And I know people have tried to discredit him the whole way. And his style is kind of boring. The way he goes about his business, he's quiet. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's not a big name guy. He doesn't want to be on TV. He's kind of gone about his modest way and just keeps grinding them out. Even at this end of his career, after a couple knee injuries, this guy is still putting up numbers even today. I mean, literally, what is he on, the Bills now? I don't know where he's at, but he's still in the league. I know he's with the Colts. And this guy, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame.
As Jalen Rose would say, keep getting them checks, and that's what he's doing. But with Frank Gore, as unheralded as he was, it was universally agreed in the studio during the break that in terms of great unheralded running backs, Fred Taylor.
Yeah, Fred Taylor, man. I let Allen talk about him a little bit because I'll go on and on, but I've been saying it for years. I even, when he was 1 year, he was thought he should have been on the ballot. I tweeted back that he is the best running back that I faced. And when I said that, I was talking about all around. This guy could break away speed. He ran hard in between the tackles. He could block. He could catch. I was like, there's nothing that he wasn't really good at. When you start going down the list, you start saying, oh, okay, even Barry Sanders, best all time, he wasn't blocking. He wasn't blocking nobody. He was just running and catching. So when I value all around players who can do everything really, really good. And Freddie T, in my mind, was the best in the business. He was the best I've ever faced.
Was he the best one-cut runner you ever saw?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, man, he was, wow, he could one-cut, jump, cut, and go in a heartbeat and get up to premium speed. You know, they probably, if they had a thing gauging like they do now, how fast somebody's running, he probably got 30 miles an hour. Yeah, I believe that firmly. Maybe about 35. He was just that freaking good. I don't know why he's not getting the credit that he deserves, but he is the best running back, and I faced them all, Bettis, A.G., to, Curtis Martin, mm-hmm. to Barry Sanders, to I caught last year Barry Sanders, to all the way to Corey. And there's another guy, Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon.
I'd put him on the list. Now, he ain't ahead of Fred T.
Yeah.
I just say I think Corey Dillon probably runs a little harder, but he's not an all-around great player like that.
And, Alan, you were mentioning how big of a Fred Taylor fan you are.
Monster, right?
Huge fan of him.
And I'll say this. I mean, you were telling a story, you know, blitzing through an A-gap and him just ear-holing you, right?
Well, this is after he ear-holed me on a blitz.
Yeah.
He picked me up, and it, like, stunned me. You know, when I got to go rolling, I'm gonna get there. Boy, he stopped me in my tracks, and I think I heard my ear ringing. And I looked at him and said, hey, man, you tried to hurt me. Boy, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
So I looked over to Greg Williams. I said, did I did? Hey, he like, he know that mean. Let me ride.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through that A-gap.
Yeah.
And he, boy, he waited a couple plays. I blitzed the A-gap, and it opened up like the Red Sea. I'm about to get you. And, man, I ran through there, and I whiffed. I like, crap, I never miss. Yeah. I never miss. When I block you in, I got you beamed in, I got you. Well, guess why I missed? Because he jump cut so hard, he fell down and tore his groin off the bone.
Ooh.
And he was laying there crying. I said, yep, I still got you.
Yep.
So that was a proud moment to me because that's how much respect I had for the guy. He was just, man, if I would have bet money, there's no way I would have bet that we would have beat them three times in a season.
Yeah.
They had some weapons, and I'm a defensive guy going against, you know,
they had a ton
Ray
of
Taylor
weapons.
Yeah. And the Jimmy Smith and Keem McCardell and Kyle Brady and, you know, Mark Brunell running the show. I mean, they had some weapons, man. And I just think we believed that we were just going to out. I think we thought they were a finesse team, and we thought in the end, when it comes fourth quarter, we're going to just keep coming and keep coming, and they're finally going to break. And we believe that because Fisher and crew made us believe that.
Yeah, and
not
it
just
worked
about their offense, but it's really about their whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really, man, but I had a lot of respect for not only him, but Jimmy Smith, their whole crew, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Fred, you know, Fred T., I would put him at the top of the list, some of the guys running back.
I'm with you. And, like, you look at Fred Taylor, he suffers from the same thing that Frank Gore does, in the sense of they just don't talk a whole lot. Like, you just don't hear a lot from them.
Good guy.
Great guys. Like, exactly what you want on a team, right? So they don't, you never heard anything about a contract. You never heard anything about anything. Like, they just went to work, blocked, did every single thing well, got you 100, 110 yards a game, you know, two touchdowns, you get the win, get out of there. And it's, you kind of hate that at the end, that kind of, it hurts a player, you know, because it just wasn't, you know, he wasn't on SportsCenter after the game saying anything. Nope. Shower, boom, on the bus, out to work. Let's get ready for the next one. And both of those guys belong in the Hall of Fame.
Well, we just came up with your next article.
There we go.
Every minute is the guys that should be in the Hall of Fame that aren't in the Hall of Fame, or whatever title you want to give it. You're a lot smarter than me. You can do all that. You know, hey, man, some of these guys that are really elite-level players, and they're just going to come up a little short.
Yeah. Look at Rod Smith from Denver. Like, does he belong? Yeah, like, there's a lot of
Rod Smith's stats to, what's the, you know, Edelman.
Yeah.
Like, they he can't touch our
I'm glad you mentioned that. When they were comparing those two, I just went, look, and I've got all the respect in the world for Edelman and what he's been able to do, but I'm like, please.
How many other franchises is Julian Edelman anywhere near as good as he is with New England?
Great question.
Yep. Okay. Well, excellent question.
Only the other teams that have a Tom Brady.
None. Yeah, there's not a lot of those. Really not a lot of those.
I would say with Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers, you know, because he's the closest thing you could have. I think he could have success, because we've seen that type of receiver have success, but there wouldn't be a lot of places. That's for sure. And, of course, mentioning Denver, which is a team, and Jay Mart, that you're a big fan of. Ed McCaffrey, I always thought was a pretty good wide receiver.
Oh, me too. Well, I think a lot of it is because of they made it, you know, to the Super Bowl and made nice runs in the playoffs, and he's always had big games there, you know, and then, you know, maybe a lot of the other guys maybe didn't get into the playoffs and make those kind of runs continuously over and over and over again, and we kind of get brainwashed that, oh, man, this is an elite receiver. He's a really good receiver. Is he elite because of his quarterback, or is he, you know, I mean, or is he a guy that you're game planning for to say we're going to stop?
He had a good.
I don't think nobody's game plan is to say we're going to stop him. I don't think they're doubling Edelman.
See, I thought Rod Smith was an elite receiver. I did.
Oh, I think he is too. I played against
no question.
Oh yeah, Hot Rod is what I call him.
He was the real deal.
And by the way, I don't think he was drafted.
He might not have been. I'm not sure.
I believe that's right.
Pretty sure, because I was barely drafted. I kept tabs on those dudes that didn't get in the league. All of a sudden, they're doing really well. He was one of them.
Well, we're talking about, of course, running backs here, elite running backs, some unheralded running backs. But, Alan, we look at Derrick Henry, who finally, latter part of last year, second half of last year, blossomed into the running back, the Heisman Trophy winner that everybody had been waiting for, a guy whose name was on the block, and the Titans even confirmed that around the trade deadline last year. We look at Derrick Henry, when I've seen this guy, I mean, he's an Adonis the way he's built, but his combination of speed and also size, I mean, first to you, Alan, your thoughts on Derek, and then Blaine.
I just want you to give me the recipe. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Why'd he turn it up?
Was it the Eddie George conversation?
I think it was. I mean, no, I really think it was. I think, you know, Eddie George had a lot to do with that. And who's our guy on 3HL? Moonshine. What's his name?
Mark Mariani.
Yeah, Mariani said it, like, on their show. Like, he literally said, I saw something out of him. He was like, watch. In the next 2 weeks, he was like, this guy's going to take off. And he did. Like, he saw it. Like, guys that played in the league, Blaine, you get it. Like, you see something, you're like, it's about to come. Like, this guy's about to get it. It's about to be here. But yeah, like, Derrick Henry, like, you know, it's a tough call. Are we going to see the Derrick Henry we saw the last 2 months of the year last year? If the Titans do, it's a fantastic running back, and you're going to have to pay him.
But if you're Marcus Mariota, you're praying for the Derrick Henry from the latter part of last year, because, again, Mariota's had his most success when DeMarco Murray had over 1,000 yards and had his one really good year for the Titans. Great conversation we've got going on. We'll take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show with Alan Bell from 24/7 Sports. 9:42 is
talk
the
about
time.
Free agency. How many free agents are there with the Titans after this season?
And that is something that hasn't been talked a lot about because of the focus on Marcus, but 2020 is going to be a big year, that's for sure. .32, the Wake Up Zone, 104.5, the Zone. Very spirited conversation during the break that we're going to relive for you here in a matter of moments. Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Tennessee Lottery proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. I'm Jonathan Schaefer, Jason Martin in studio, along with it, man. Blaine Bishop and Alan Bell from 24/7 Sports in studio. I was going to lead us more into the Titans conversation, but we were talking about Frank Gore, his career, and then talking about comparable running backs.
Fourth all time, still in the league.
And I'm glad you said that.
14,000 yards and such, whatever, you know.
I remember watching Frank Gore last season. And going,
have like a DiGiorno, whatever. The way to go,
yep, that's what I do,
is Jack's, right? You'll see it. It's Jack's. It's like $3 at Kroger, right? So you get it, take it home, get a thin crust, throw some crushed red pepper on it, and put it on the grill. And I know that sounds crazy, right? Like you would never think that in the world. Throw it on the grill, like 12 minutes, you know, around 400 degrees, somewhere around there. I'm telling you, man. It's a life changer. It'll change the game for frozen pizza, I promise you.
That is surprising.
Well, thank you,
Dan. As Blaine is known to say, learn something new every day.
Every day. That is every day. Well, I mean, leading to it, before we get to Jay, then I guess, what do you think about the comparison between Marcus Mariota and Tannehill, before we pass over to Jason and kind of the whole segment, is, you know, just their play and their careers thus far to this point, if you even add another 2 years to Marcus's, it will still almost duplicate exactly their careers. It's just amazing. Are they the same players?
It's amazing, you know, and excuse me, Travis Haney nailed it, right? Like, their careers have been almost identical, right? So if you look at, you know, I think what Tannehill's played 6 years, Marcus has played four, right? So if you take it by a per year average, so the QB rating, Tannehill 92.7, Marcus Mariota 92.3, right? Like, you look at a per year average, Tannehill 3,400 yards, Marcus Mariota 3,000 yards. Touchdowns per year, Tannehill 20.5, Marcus Mariota 17.25. Like, it is almost identical. And we look at, you know, all the talk is about Marcus Mariota after this year, what to do in terms of contract. Well, the Titans actually have to make two decisions on the quarterback because Tannehill's contract's up too. And no matter what you do, if you keep Marcus, you still have to have a backup quarterback, right? So they actually have to make two quarterback decisions after this year. And you're right. Like, these two guys' career statistically have been almost identical, you know, and some might say that Tannehill has, you know, maybe a little bit better arm in terms of just what, you know, rough NFL field scouts, you know, might look at. But Marcus, you know, kind of flips and mirrors that because he can use his legs, right? So when you average all that in, they're almost the exact same quarterback.
So, Alan, I wrote about this when Fox had to negotiate between MMA and WWE, that the smart money was on Vince McMahon because there was nothing left up to chance. Yep. There's too much money involved to leave decisions like that up to chance. So the worst place that you can be is a decision maker for a company of any type. In this case, we're talking about NFL franchises, is having to make a major choice on incomplete information. So we don't know if Marcus can be the guy still after all this time, which tells me, and what I've said always, is he's not the guy because we're still asking the question, but you've got caveats and you've got excuses that can explain away some of this futility, but the jury is still out. So basically you're putting all your money on red, hoping it's a 50-50 proposition, or maybe you're putting all your money on seven and hoping that you don't roll your way out of this. You have no quarterback. You've got very little to nothing in this league, and they're going to have to make, I think they're still going to be making a decision at the end of this year on incomplete information.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because, you know, we kind of know what Marcus is, right? Like, you know, if you take like an EKG machine, like he's pretty straightforward, but what you're saying is exactly right. Like, the unknown is the problem. Is this exactly it? Does he have a higher ceiling or not? And then, you know, really the control, like you were talking about, it's the money. Because not only do they have, you know, you've got a salary cap to work with, right? So you've got to think of an entire team. And if he's demanding, you know, higher money, well, then, you know, he's not worth it. Like, he's just not worth it. But I like to think like you do, because I listen to you and I love your show and I love the way that your brain thinks. Well, so if you take Marcus Mariota, right? So let's say that the team says, no, we're done, we're not going to do it. Well, the next thing that you would say is, well, let's look at this tangibly. All right, so let's look at the options, because it's easy to say, ah, we're going to move on from Marcus. Okay, well, there's another big decision to do it, right? So you're going to go through the draft, or are you going to try to get a high quarterback? Say you want to go get Tua. Well, now you have to leverage your entire draft next year, right, to do that, or finish 1-15. right? And then you put yourself on the hot seat in terms
or
of...
Or you can finish middle of the row like you always do and you say, I probably can get the third best quarterback in the draft. Who is possibly the third or best quarter, third or fourth best quarterback in the draft?
I mean, I love that. Like, but you're right. Like, there's so, like, it's so difficult of a decision. So if you try to go with the draft, then, like you said, Blaine, you're either going to end up with the third best quarterback in there or you're going to leverage your entire draft to get a guy. Who knows if Tua is going to be that good? We still don't know if Tua is going to be healthy this year for Alabama, right? So then you say, okay, well, forget the draft. We're the Titans. We're going to do it in free agency. Well, one, you're going to superbly overpay because that's what free agency is. And two, who's going to be out there? Who's your best bet? Ryan Tannehill, right? So it's just such a tough game. Like, that's where they find themselves. And now that they have to make two decisions on it for not only who's your starting quarterback, but then who's your backup quarterback. And then if you bring in two quarterbacks and they don't know who is QB1, QB2, and you have a battle, yeah, that's good. But it could also be a disaster, right? You know, for both guys mentally. So it's a tough decision they find themselves in. They've got a lot of big decisions to make after this year.
I think they should get the NFL to change their rules. And you can come out of college at any time you want to. And that way Trevor Lawrence goes first. Then you can get Tua with the second.
See, I like the way you think.
Blaine's point right there I really liked about middle of the road and where you end up. Because the problem with a Tyrod Taylor or a quarterback like that is he's never bad enough to put you at the top of the draft where you can actually take somebody that can reset your franchise. You almost have to bottom out in many respects, unless you look into a Russell Wilson or maybe a Dak Prescott if you like Dak, or a Tom Brady late in the draft or something like that. But I'm going to take it to the NBA quickly just because I was talking to Blaine and Schaaf about this earlier. Kemba Walker is a problem for Charlotte right now because he made the All-NBA team. He's eligible for the Supermax contract. They wanted him on a discount because they like him and he's an all-star level player, but they didn't make the playoffs. But you're going to have to pay him a ton of money, or you're going to have to let him go where he's going to make less money just because you can't leverage your own franchise, even though you know he's good, because there's a ceiling on him. And that, I think, is the problem for Mariota.
Absolutely. I mean, excuse me, that's exactly what the problem is, because, you know, if you look at it and say, all right, like you were just saying, you know, Marcus isn't going to tank your franchise. Same thing you were saying about Tyrod Taylor. Marcus is the same way, right? Like, he's not going to be so bad that you end up 2-14, 1-15. However, you know, what if you stay in that 7-9 to 9-7 range, right? So you're right in the middle, and then it just comes down to money, like exactly what you're saying. So, you know, what we need to know, the control in this experiment, is what is the floor and what is the ceiling in terms of money that Marcus would want next year? Because if you could get him for 3 to 4 years of $65 million, hey, that's manageable. Team can do it. But if his agent's saying, nope, $100 million minimum, like, don't care, do not care what you look at his stats, this is the going rate for quarterbacks, well, then you have to move on.
Pay that man his money.
I also think there's another thing, and we were talking about this yesterday, Schaaf, on the program, about receiving talent and how, oh, this is the best group of weapons that Marcus Mariota's ever had. We hear that almost every single year.
Yeah.
I was looking at the rest of the AFC South, and I was saying, okay, I'm going to rank these teams, and I'm just going to go ahead and predict their finish this year based on their quarterback and their number one receiver. Isn't it interesting that Andrew Luck seems to have a guy that he has great chemistry with in T.Y. Hilton? Isn't it interesting that Deshaun Watson seems to have somebody he has amazing chemistry with in DeAndre Hopkins? There's no chemistry that we can actually pick right now between Mariota and any of his receivers other than Delanie Walker a couple of years ago because he was the safety blanket of all safety blankets. Corey Davis is a guy that has to step up this year.
Has to. I mean, no question, has to. And let's say this. I mean, you're exactly right about Delanie, but you know what? They didn't get to play last year together either.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like you've got Delanie coming back, you know, from his injury. And then you look at it and say, okay, well, AJ Brown's going to go in and say he has that alpha approach in terms of he wants his receptions. Great. That's awesome. You know what? Marcus doesn't trust him just because he doesn't know him yet. Now, that could change in training camp, which everybody would be happy for. But then you've got Adam Humphries too. So is another guy that Marcus really doesn't know. And everything's about timing, you know, and we're talking about down to, you know, quarter of a second type timing, which it should all work out. But like you said, there's nothing that you can identify and confidently say this is going to be his guy, because we all thought it could be Corey Davis last year, and yet he was kind of the guy, but he wasn't the guy. You know,
we haven't seen him tweet for 20 minutes. It's a record. Alan Bell, managing editor, NFL content on 24/7 Sports in studio with us, and we come back more about the Titans, start talking about the rest of the AFC South, as Jason Martin just alluded to. Blaine Bishop, Jason Martin, I'm Jonathan Schaefer, Alan Bell in studio, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. We'll take your phone calls and also your tweets, 615-737-1045 on Twitter at WZ1045. .47 America's Music City. Blaine Bishop has been turned up for half an hour.
Boy, y'all talking about this Freddie T. Let's start talking about the AFC Championship and how we got beaten in it. Man, good Lord.
What I love is that you said you'll reach out to Freddie once in a while. He won't talk to you.
Oh, no. Sometimes he'll return my text, you know, call here. Sometimes, not him and Jimmy, they like, but Keenan Will and Mark Brunell.
Well, Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCardle. Yeah. For the people that weren't here during the break. Right. So make sure they were informed. Man,
boy. But, you know, we were their kryptonite, and the Ravens were our kryptonite, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, just those 99 and 2000 seasons, remarkable. And, of course, teams that you were proudly a part of. You can be a part of the show real quickly if you want at 615-737-1045, Twitter at WUZ1045, is Alan Bell from 24/7 Sports in studio with us. Real quickly, we'll sneak in Mike, who's in his car, going to join the conversation here. Mike, you're in the Wake Up Zone.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all, and enjoy the show.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Listen, I've been hearing an awful lot of criticism of Marcus Mariota. And I'm not necessarily the world's biggest cheerleader for Mariota, but when I look at last year, I look at a three-game stretch where he had probably 22 sacks. Is that Marcus Mariota? And over the years, I know our lines have always been built for the run. I mean, even when McNair was here, Blaine, I mean, he ran for his life. He made a lot of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Locker, we made him quit. Mettenberger got sacked 8 times by J.J. Watt. And are we really protecting Marcus to the level where he can succeed?
Appreciate the phone call, Mike.
I'll say this. I completely agree with him, right? So, one, you talk about the sacks. Well, how many came in that Ravens game? What, 12?
400.
All right, so.
Ravens in the Colts game.
Yeah, exactly. He just got sacked again, by the way.
That's right.
Well, let me say this. I made this point the other day. I don't think Marcus is the main focus of this team this year. I think it comes out to two things. Because this team, it sits anywhere from 7-9 to 9-7 right now. Could be any three of those records. The difference is going to be, I think the offensive line is going to set the tone for the entire thing. I think they can make this team better in terms of the run, in terms of protecting Marcus and letting Marcus feel comfortable. And two, it's the Colts. They've got to do something about the Colts. If you want to go from a 9-7 team to 10-6 or 11-5, you've got to beat the Colts. Like those last two wins, Blaine, you probably know, those are the hardest ones. Yep. It's one thing to go from 4-12 to, you know, 8-8, like you could make that jump. Going from 9-7 to 10-6 to 11-5, that's where it gets difficult, right? So I think those two things, the offensive line and taking care of the Colts, that's where they'll find their biggest jumps and be the team that they think and they want to be. That's where they'll find it.
Well, that'd be huge. Also in the running game, that's where the offensive line comes into play. Now, in those two games, I thought there were plays when he got sacked, I thought that he should have got rid of the ball.
Amen.
He was a part in some of those sacks. And I always go back to the Ravens and the Colts game because there were multitude of sacks. He took a beating. I mean, he didn't even finish the Colts game. In the Ravens game, they sacked him, 10, 11 times?
11.
And so, you got to, you know, at some point you got to say no mas and get rid of the ball. So you got to go back. To me, I would be a studier of quarterbacks if I'm Marcus. I don't even know if he does this. Like over the offseason, go back and watch some of the great ones here in the last decade. You're talking about Peyton Manning. These guys weren't mobile like you, so how did they win? They understood the offense. They understood how to beat those defenses and had tips, and they weren't getting sacked a lot, and they were not. They were immobile. Let's just say that. And they were getting rid of the football. So that's the recipe of how to win. And nobody take a sack. Well, guess what? I'm going to fall down. There's nowhere to go here. I'm not going to take a beating for nothing. So you beat me this time because they beat you mentally. They don't beat you just with their physical gifts. They beat you with their arm and their mind. That's how we win games. Marcus must take that next step to beat teams with his mind. Athletically, there's always going to be somebody as good as you or better. Well, we know his athleticism is off the charts as a quarterback, but we got to beat him with the arm and the mind.
Well, and Jason, that's what Coach Mack mentioned yesterday, that it's the execution that separates these teams because everybody's got great athletes, but it's that precision, it's that attention to detail, and that execution is what separates them.
Yeah, it's consistency or lack thereof that can cause a lot of this. Alan, let me ask you this, and Blaine and Shay, if you guys can answer this as well. I sort of mentioned it yesterday flippantly, but why is it that Marcus doesn't throw to the sidelines? Why does he not throw outside the numbers to get an easy 4 or 5 yards? That's how you get the ball out of him. He's constantly looking here.
I've studied that already and just not even watch tape.
Yeah,
he won't throw outside the numbers very much at all. I mean,
I don't understand that.
It's got to be a confidence thing. Like, it has to be something in terms of the confidence to where either he doesn't trust his arm. You know, if you're going from the left hash all the way to the right side, well, yeah, that's a longer throw. So he either doesn't trust his arm or he doesn't trust who's out there to catch it, right? So that's got to be what it is. But I'm with you. Like, you know, take the safety valves of what you have. You know, look at Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady doesn't throw deep a ton. He hits Edelman and would hit Gronk. Short passes, short passes, short passes.
And his running back.
Absolutely. Like, Yes, Blaine. Thank you.
Well,
like,
that's Delaney being out last year, not getting as much out of Deion Lewis as they would like. And I think that's where deciding upon how they want to use Adam Humphries, you can even work him into that type of game in certain schemes.
But and you're right. But even if, some, you know, say Delaney's out, I mean, they've got a wide receiver who can catch a dig, right? Like,
right.
You can catch a 5 yard out. Like, you've got to think so. So I'm with you. Like, use that, you know, and use. What he was saying, understand the defense, know where the soft spots are, right? Uh-huh. And you say, boom, hey, just cut it. Just run 6 yards and just cut it inside, right? Linebacker and the safeties are going to be gone. Like, there's going to be open space. So, yeah.
Alan Bell from 24/7 Sports. Real quickly, Alan, because we want to pay this off. Of course, they're going to have to make a decision about Marcus and also Tannehill to a lesser degree, but they've got some big free agency deals that they're going to have to make here in the very near future.
Yeah, they've got some decisions to make. So you look at Logan Ryan. Look at, you know, obviously we know about Jack Conklin, you know, and them declining his deal. You know, Dennis Kelly, Kevalia Correa, you know, you go down the list, Kevin Byard, David Fluellen, you know, on the backside of that running back class, Wesley Woodyard, Ben Jones, Kevin Pompfield. I mean, there are so many names that they have to make a decision. And we didn't even say Tajay Sharp is on that list as well. Like, there are so many decisions that the Titans are going to have to make after this year. So that's why I think what you're saying in terms of Marcus Mariota and the price, they don't have a lot of money. Like, they've got to take all this, the pile of money they have, and allocate it correctly, because if you start getting out of bands, then it all goes downhill.
The other problem is Chris Ballard is really good. I'm just looking in division. He's probably the best executive in the league right now, the way he's drafting, the way that they're acquiring, and they have a ton of money
that they didn't
on top
spend.
Of that.
Yep.
So the Titans are falling further behind. Even if they were to take a few steps forward, the Colts might have taken 5 or 6 steps forward.
Absolutely. Like, you look at it in terms of, like, just a regular work job. You know, you get paid on Friday. Well, we all went out, you know, spent our paycheck having fun going out. Chris Ballard sat there and put his money under the mattress, right? And he's saving it, saying, I've already got a better quarterback than you, got a better wide receiver than you. Now I've got double the money you, and I draft better. Chris Ballard is doing a heck of a job in Indianapolis.
Alan, we've enjoyed having you here in studio, and definitely want to have you come back here in the future.
I would love to. I appreciate you guys so much for having me, man. It's a blast. Thank you.
It's awesome.
Alan Bell.
We got to get a pick with him, man. Yeah.
We will do that. Yeah. We're almost done. Managing editor for 24/7 Sports, talking about the NFL. Follow him on Twitter as well. What's your handle, Alan?
At AlanBell247.
And there
that's
you go.
An A.
And you will see him tweeting at 247 as well, 24/7, that's for sure. I want to thank Alan Bell, also Ricardo Patton, for joining us today, and Brent Hubbs for Blaine. J-Mart's heading out to L.A. for a very well-needed vacation as he starts nodding off right here, not just to the music for Alan Bell. I'm Jonathan Schaefer. And yes, Morgan, of course. Can't forget Morgan, our requisite Oregon State fan. I am too as well.
That old beaver.
I'm Jonathan Schaefer, Midday 180. It's up next.
It's all about the Benjamins.